All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention as the court is now sitting. God save the United States in this honorable court.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument is Singh versus Mount Pleasant, Ms. Salata.
May it please the court, my name is Rebecca Salota, and I'm the attorney for the appellant, Ms. Sandhya Singh. Ms. Singh brings this case before this court after the trial court granted the Town of Mount Pleasant's motion for summary judgment. Ms. Singh charges the Town of Mount Pleasant discriminated against her on the basis of race, national origin, and color during the course of and in the termination of her employment with the town. Ms. Singh seeks to have the trial court's decision granting summary judgment reversed and the case sent back for a jury trial on its merits. Ms. Singh worked for the Town of Mount Pleasant for 14 months. During this time period, she experienced numerous acts of discrimination and differential treatment as compared to people who had the position before her, as well as other employees of the town. Now, if we were to look at each one of these incidents that we have alleged and discussed in our brief, individually, they may not comprise alone a claim of discrimination. I'll admit that. However, this is a case in which we need to look at the cumulative effect of the daily acts that Ms. Singh experienced and how it ultimately affected her employment, her training, and her ultimate termination with the town. Ms. Singh started with the Town of Mount Pleasant in December of 1999. Within 3 months, she had gone to the town administrator to speak to him about the problems she was experiencing in her department. Now, Ms. Singh worked in a department of only three people, including herself, the director and a support staff person. She talked to Mr. DeGray, the town administrator, about how in her department no one would speak to her, she had no communication. She had heard during this time period that before she came to work, they had been mocking her accent. Comments had been made by a town board member mocking her Indian holidays during the month of December. She had heard comments about citizenship, and she had heard her supervisor say, in relation to a discussion about Aileen Gonzalez, about how they should just all be sent back.
But immigrants aren't a protected class, are they?
No, but the idea is that it, as the trial court had said, it lends us to understand what was motivating Mr. Meyer when he refused to speak to her in his contact and his interactions with Ms. Singh. Many, as I said, that would be an incident that I would say alone is not a claim for discrimination. However, when looked at it in context and trying to understand, as we must in many of these cases, what is motivating the decision maker, we look to their actions, other comments, and overall conduct to try and understand what is motivating them.
What was the evidence that she would produce indicating there was a mocking of her accent?
She had been told by one employee that prior to her starting that her boss and the Mr. Meyer and the secretary in the office, Miss Edmonds, had been making fun of her accent.
Did she identify that person that heard them doing that?
Yes, she did. It was another employee of the town.
And that employee had said that he or she had overheard that?
Yes.
So now, was Gleason the one who hired her?
Gleason was a town board member. And how the process went is There was the initial interview by Mr. Meyer, the director of the department, and by Mr. DeGrave, the town administrator, and then that was brought to the town board. Mr. Meyer had been reluctant to hire Ms. Singh and had objected to it, however, been ultimately was persuaded by Mr. DeGrave to recommend her hire with the condition that she would receive training because he saw her deficient in several areas, particularly in practical experience. With respect to the board, Mr. Gleason was the only town board member who voted against her hire.
Well, what was the training you think she should have received?
She should have... The training historically in this has been a very loose sort of training. There was no formalized training. So it was on the job working with the director and with the secretary. In this case, because the relationship and the treatment that she received from Mr. Meyer and from Ms. Edmonds was so cold and virtually non-existent, that she did not receive any training. The job is such that you received it as you went on the job. You would go to meetings, you would talk about plans, you would work together, and through working together and on the job, you would receive the knowledge you would need. Because she had virtually no communications with Mr. Meyer or Ms. Edmonds, or when they were communications, they're very antagonistic. Particularly with Ms. Edmonds, that she didn't receive the training.
Did she attend meetings?
She attended three meetings.
She wasn't invited to meetings? Was that the problem?
Correct. Whereas her predecessors had attended numerous meetings, and their testimony had been that it was also very... on-the-job training, but that their relationships and their interactions with Mr. Meyer and Ms. Edmonds really were crucial for them to be able to perform their jobs. And so it was the atmosphere in the department that led Ms. Singh to not receive the training that she needed. This isn't a case where we can look at, did she take these 10 classes or not? It's really much more... sort of amorphous, I guess. It's was she receiving the on-the-job training? And this is particularly crucial because when they hired her, everybody agreed that she had the educational background. They were all concerned that she didn't have the practical experience, the hands-on experience in working in this area. And one of the conditions of her employment was that she needed to learn that area. And so that training was particularly crucial for her, and everybody knew and understood at the time she was hired that she needed that type of training.
So why were Meyer and Gleason opposed to hiring her?
It is our allegation because they state that it is because of her lack of experience. It is our allegation that it is because of her color, national origin, and race. And since that is their explicitly stated reason...
Did they have their own candidate?
No. And since that was their stated reason for not wanting to hire her, it becomes all the more questionable when they completely failed to even... present her with any training. Mm-hmm. 3 months after this initial conversation with Mr. DeGrave, she once more met with Mr. DeGrave, again the town administrator, because they were extending her probation. She had not been able to meet the expectations of the town, and again we allege it's because of the failure to train. She had the education, she was prepared and ready to work, but without the interactions and communication, she was unable to. And the feedback she got from Mr. DeGrave at that point was that she just didn't fit in. And, again, no effort was made after that to try and remedy the problems that she was complaining about. And, in fact, for the next 6 months, Mr. Meyer had virtually no communications with her, primarily in part because he had become the interim.
What would be an example of a mistake she made because she hadn't received training?
Not knowing, one of the criticisms they have made in extending her probation was that she did not answer town citizens' questions without having to go and do research or talk to somebody else or follow up. She couldn't answer right off the top. And if she had had the training, if she had known what to do, she wouldn't have needed to go and look further and ask questions and find out. She would have known right there.
The training would have given her answers to specific questions?
Yes, because she would have known then, for example, if a person came in with a question about a zoning ordinance or what they needed to do to apply for this particular permit, she would have had that experience and knowledge more to tell them what to do in that situation.
Want to save the rest of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Salata. Ms. Ford, sorry.
May it please the court, good morning. My name is Michelle Ford, and I'm one of the attorneys representing the defendant appellees, the town of Mount Pleasant, a former supervisor of Ms. Singh's, Mr. Ronald Meyer, a former town council member at the time of Ms. Singh's employment, Mr. Gleason, and Northland Insurance Companies. Ms. Singh and her counsel clearly believe that discrimination and harassment occurred on the basis of national origin, color, and race. I share the court's concern regarding the race claim, since it is my understanding that Continental Indians are Caucasian. And the district court declined to address this particular issue. But under the assumption that there is a viable race claim here, which is what the district court decided, we would submit to you that the district court carefully reviewed the record and accurately determined that on no set of facts could Ms. Singh, on the record, present a material issue of fact for the jury on any of her claims. Now, although Ms. Singh may believe that she was discriminated against, the court will note in the record that the allegations regarding harassment and discrimination absolutely lack any evidence of a causal connection between Ms. Singh's color, her race, or her national origin, and any acts that she complains about in connection with her employment. Now, this theory of cumulative effect is effectively a theory.
Well, Ms. Salata said that if she'd been given training, she would have been able to answer these questions about from the public.
Yes, and in point of fact, this court has the record. And unfortunately, while casting no aspersions on anyone, this court has always been very careful to review the record to determine whether or not the representations made to this court are supported by the evidentiary facts. One of the things that I would like to point out to the court is that the record regarding this alleged shunning of Ms. Singh is significantly different from that presented to the district court and is significantly more drastic. In point of fact, Ms. Singh was recommended for hire. Mr. Meyer recommended her for hire. There's no evidence in the record whatsoever that he was in any way reluctant to recommend her for hire. Both Mr. Meyer and then Town Administrator Patrick DeGrave told her that it was a new position she was occupying, and she was to act in Mr. Meyer's stead in his absence because his work responsibilities were becoming so significant that he needed someone to effectively replace him when he was gone.
This recommend for hire by Mr. Meyer, was that after an interview where he had met with her?
That's after Pat DeGrave and Ron Meyer interviewed her. And during that interview, Ms. Singh promised to bring herself up to a level of proficiency such that she could work independently in Mr. Meyer's stead and assume all of his responsibilities. She was the deputy director, you must understand, and he was the director. So the court must understand that what was expected of her was a replacement for Mr. Meyer, so that Mr. Meyer could free some of his own time. Ms. Singh promised to bring herself up to a level of proficiency. She was mailed orientation materials, including the zoning code and all of these zoning ordinances, months before she began her employment. She began her employment in late 1999. She was mailed orientation materials a couple of months before that because she was going to India. The zoning code, this court is familiar with land use cases, I'm sure. Zoning codes are subject to interpretation. One reads them. Its zoning is not easy. But, however, to become proficient, one has to read the material. If Ms. Singh did not read the orientation material, what can the town of Mount Pleasant do? Additionally, the testimony is that all of the... she did not have any predecessors because her position was a newly created managerial position. Her predecessors or anyone else that worked in the zoning department and assisted Mr. Meyer before her were actually deputy zoning administrators who had a different non-managerial job description. Two important differences. One, they were not expected to assume Ron Meyer's responsibilities in his absence. And two, they were not expected to manage the department and specifically delegate work to the departmental
but
secretary.
But in a way, that supports her argument that she needed additional training because the job was different.
Well, I would like to point out to the court that in point of fact, she received the same amount of and extra training that was received by anybody that came before her. She indicated herself in her testimony.
You are emphasizing that they're different jobs.
That's correct.
Different jobs, she would need additional training.
That's correct. And she also testified that she regularly attended meetings. She, in her own testimony during her deposition, acknowledged that she worked day to day with citizens on inquiries as they came in. Now, the court must understand that these meetings are public meetings. She could not have been excluded from those meetings if anyone tried to exclude her, and there's no evidence in the record that plan commission meetings were something that she was not told to go to. The public is invited under Wisconsin's public meetings law. So the allegation that she was somehow excluded from meetings just doesn't hold water, given that any member of the public can come in off the street. In addition, the individual who typically assisted other previous deputy zoning administrators, Juliet Edmonds, had 7 years of experience in this department. Ms. Singh immediately made enemies with Juliet Edmonds. Ms. Singh told Mr. Meyer that she felt that Juliet Edmonds was accorded more respect than a secretary deserved, and she refused to give her direction, even though Ron Meyer repeatedly over the course of months told her, this is your secretary, you delegate work to her, you manage her, it's your essential job function. Ms. Singh described Ms. Edmonds as my so-called secretary in deposition, and in her action plan explicitly refused to delegate work, the first action plan, denying responsibility for delegation. So she was effectively taking her job description and selecting which of those tasks that she would do and which of those tasks she would not do. So she indicated that she had training in the form of dealing with day-to-day citizen inquiries. She attended meetings. She had an unprecedented 3 separate meetings with the Plan Commission chairperson, Mr. Meyer, and Mr. O'Donnell on one occasion to prepare her to independently handle a plan commission meeting so that Mr. Meyer would not have to be there. 3 separate meetings for 1 plan commission meeting. These were training sessions. Her action plans themselves were written evaluations and instructions on her performance and constituted in and of themselves training tools. She declined to accept responsibility, however, for any training or work deficiencies. And in lieu of meeting constructively with Mr. Meyer, told him that delegation of work was not her responsibility and that she complained about the way in which he ran the meetings, indicating that, I believe she testified, that they were not run in a systemic fashion sufficient to meet her her requirements or her belief as to how they should go. She was given an unprecedented 2 probation extensions. The second probation extension, she actually had to be talked into because she told the town of Mount Pleasant, then new director, who was independently evaluating her performance at the time, that she wanted to either be made a permanent employee, taken off probation, or she wanted to be fired. He ultimately he wanted to put her on a 4-month extension, second extension, to give her 4 months within which to bring herself up to speed so that he could independently evaluate her. He ultimately was able to only talk her into 3 months. She told him, I'll only work for 3 months. And at the end of those 3 months, in Mr. O'Donnell's independent evaluation of her work performance, she was terminated. And one of the important things in this case is that there is no direct evidence of discrimination, and it's acknowledged, I think, at this point by all parties that that is so. So one has to compare her to similarly situated employees and determine if, in fact, there are any. And in point of fact, there aren't. The former deputy zoning administrators, none of them were required to exercise managerial responsibility over Ms. Edmonds. None of them were required to act in Mr. Meyer's stead. None of them were required to do performance evaluations, to delegate work to Ms. Meyer, and to monitor her work. And they so testified. I'd like to point out that she was not told simply that she didn't fit in. She was given two separate consecutive occasions to bring her performance up to speed, and she acknowledged herself at one point in June of 2000 that she had failed to bring the plan commission minutes up to date for a full 8 weeks. So she acknowledged a number of performance deficiencies that were pointed out to her. Her
what about these instances of disparaging remarks or mocking her?
Well, the allegation that she was mocked about her accent is hearsay. You'll note that Ms. Singh's attorney could not even name the individual who claimed to have said this. No affidavit in the record has been submitted indicating that her accent was mocked behind her back at any time. And in point of fact, I'd like to... Ms. Singh herself acknowledged to me during the course of her deposition that she could not really specifically identify the nature of the harassment that she believed she was subjected to. She did say, however, that it was people looked at her funny. She felt that they were laughing at her. One of the things I think that's very important to be noted with regard to the harassment claim is her testimony regarding the harassment. She said... I'd just like to read a brief, quick portion. I asked her, okay, so no one ever made fun of you to your face about your accent, correct? And she said, they made fun of me at my face, but not about my accent. And I said, okay, did either Ron or Juliet ever make fun of you, and in doing so, use the term color or any reference to your color? She responded, no. I asked her, in making fun of you, did Ron or Juliet ever reference your national origin? She said, no. I asked her, in making fun of you, did Ron or Juliet ever reference your race? She said no. Her complaint was essentially that she felt that Ms. Edmonds was accorded more respect than Ms. Singh was. This may have been because Ms. Edmonds had a significant amount of experience. This may have been because Mr. Myers and Ms. Edmonds had a cordial relationship. But to submit this case to the jury on a harassment theory when there is simply no evidence of any reference to color, national origin, or race would be to require the jury to speculate, which is something the law does not allow.
Where is Mount Pleasant?
Mount Pleasant is just south of Racine, Wisconsin, which is just north of the border, actually. It's between Racine and Kenosha. Mm-hmm.
What is its population?
Its population is approximately, it's less than 10,000. It's approximately 8 to 9,000.
Are there other Asians in this area, or was she unusual and exotic?
That's not in the record. And in point of fact, Mr. Meyer indicated that he did not consider her to be anything other than Caucasian. It appears as though, again...
No, I understand. Indians are Caucasian. I just wondered if there are other Asians in the area, whether, you know, this... a foreigner in their midst was just something very strange for them and upset them, or what?
Well, I don't believe she would have been hired by Mr. Meyer. He would not have recommended her hire if he felt that her presence was offensive. Again, the only indication we have is insinuation about Mr. Meyer's desire not to hire her in the first instance by the alleged mocking of her accent. Which is hearsay, something that cannot be considered on summary judgment. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the record indicated that she was alone or different, significantly different in any way.
Was her hiring ultimately a determination by the town board?
Yes, the town board always approves hires.
And how many members are on the board?
The board, I believe, at that time consisted of six members. And her termination, incidentally, was made on the recommendation of Kevin O'Donnell, who was the town administrator who replaced Pat DeGrave and was also the one who recommended and tried to persuade her and ultimately did persuade her to take a second extension on her probation. He independently assessed her work performance, and he found that she simply did not get along with others. She was not able to get along with others. A significant amount of complaints came in from citizens regarding her lack of knowledge of the zoning code. Having practiced law in this area, I would agree it's a difficult area to master, but one can do it, and she did not. Now, what the town of Mount Pleasant wanted was someone who could take over, who could assist Ron Meyer, who could act in his place, who could bring themselves up to an area of proficiency, as Ms. Singh did promise, and that's exactly what they did not get. One of the other points, and I think that I don't want to waive any arguments, with regard to the Section 1983 claim, I believe that that argument was waived. The district court, Judge Jed Miller, dismissed the individual capacity claims on the grounds of qualified immunity, and although it is argued in the reply brief that that's not so, if the court will look at the very last portion of Judge Stedmiller's very well-written decision, clearly does find that because no unconstitutional discrimination occurred, qualified immunity applied. That argument has been waived. The argument that liability on the part of the municipality and any official capacity claims, that's also been waived because Mount Pleasant can't be liable under Section 1983 for respondeat superior under a respondeat superior theory, and no evidence of policy, practice, or custom was introduced into the record. That argument has been waived, and my light is on.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Ford.
Thank you.
Ms. Salada, how much time does she have? 4 minutes?
I'd like to start first by addressing the Section 1983 claim against the town. I did specifically state that that was not an issue we were appealing, so that's not a question I'm asking this court to review. With respect to the comments made by Ms. Ford, I'd like to address, with all due respect to the decision by the district court, I would have to disagree that it was that, with respect to the training, that it is not a very careful recitation of the facts. If you look at the citation.
What about what Ms. Ford said about the accent comment being hearsay? Is that correct?
That is correct. However,
how can you rely on it?
You're correct, I can't. But Mr. Meyer also made non-hearsay comments heard by Ms. Singh herself that, for example, the comment about they should all be sent home.
But didn't he? He's the one that recommended she be hired, wasn't he?
He had to be persuaded into it. It was not something that he wanted. He had to be persuaded into that by Mr. DeGrave. And there was a lot of discussion both between him and Mr. DeGrave and at the town board meeting regarding her need for additional training and understanding of the day-to-day practice. Now, Ms. Ford indicated or inferred that that while Ms. Singh had been mailed the ordinances, and I agree she had the ordinances, that she hadn't read them. There's no evidence in the record that she never read them. But as she numerous times said, this is a very difficult area of law with a lot of areas subject to interpretation, and therefore just simply reading the ordinances isn't going to bring you up to speed to where you need to be to answer some very detailed and complicated questions from citizens coming up. And that was a big part of her job, was to answer questions from citizens. And she was one of these frontline people who needed to be able to respond, and that's why she needed the training. She needed to be able to respond to them and help them out and answer their questions. With respect to
With respect to these legal technicalities, what had her predecessors, approximate predecessors, received in the way of training?
It was very on the job. They would be invited to participate in meetings. They would be invited to work on a particular project with Mr. Meyer. They would be invited to do things on a day-to-day basis. In addition, it was a very open and comfortable atmosphere. They all testified that they enjoyed the working atmosphere, that they were able to easily talk with the others in the department. And so having these day-to-day questions answered was much easier for them because they didn't have this coldness, this hostility that Ms. Singh experienced. And therefore that day-to-day easy training was something that they did receive.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
And Ms. Ford. Next case for argument.